Today on Real Life Radio.
Maybe the universe is at war because of human souls vacant, waiting to be inhabited by your creator. And until that happens, you're just a shell.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 2. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. It's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, in Part 1, we learned that as Christians, we are the new home of Jesus. Our bodies are now a vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that as a Christ follower, our body is a forever house to God, and He gives us everything we need. The Lord belongs to us as long as we belong to Him. Now with his message called Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. Isn't that great? Somebody's spouting their mouth off about how they know everything about it, and God's going, oh yeah, watch this. It's great. And again, he says, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're futile. Why? Because worldly wisdom's a joke. Well, everybody's doing it. Luke 7:35 is one of the most least quoted verses in all of the Bible. We need it today in our 21st culture. But wisdom is justified by all her children. Do you know what that verse means? Where wisdom is leading and guiding in the life of a believer, the decisions they make will back up the fact that they were led by God. Just wait and see. Well, why'd they do that? And why this? And how come this? And just wait and see. It's beautiful. Romans 12:16 says, do not be wise in your own opinion. J. Vernon McGee says this regarding that verse. If you're impressed with you, watch out for you. That's awesome. James 1:5 says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Isn't that great? You want wisdom? Do you need wisdom? Who should you marry? What should you do? What school should you go to, if any? God, show me the way. Also, this verse 20 teaches us that his children live in holiness. His children live in holiness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're futile. And I'll just spend a second on this before we close out in the third point. In Hebrews 12:14, the Bible says, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Isn't that great? Now, that's hard to do in an age that demands a fight. I understand there was a group of people last Saturday standing out by the shops, and they had signs, and it said, God bless America, and people were driving by literally saying, and I won't repeat it, God blank America. They drive by on American soil, on an American street, with American freedoms, condemning America in our own town. Isn't that weird? I think that's weird. And the Bible tells us right here that God's kids walk in holiness and there is a peaceableness about them. It doesn't mean you don't stand for what you believe in. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for what is true. And you can stand with passion. But there's a peace with God and a confidence. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. I dwell with him who has a contrite, humble spirit." That's in the Old Testament. Does God dwell in your life?
Yes.
Todd knows this. You guys should have gotten it by now. God dwells in your life if you're a Christian. And God declares, "That's the high and holy place for me." I love that. Third point. We'll be a little late, but it's too bad. I'm not stopping now. 21 to 23. Your body is a forever house. It's a forever house because Christ Jesus has made you his new home. Because number one, because he builds on eternity. Everything that's going on in your life is designed for eternity. Everything. Not one thing passes in your life that has something to do with eternity. Everything. He says, "Therefore, let no one boast in men." That's deception. That's the ultimate deception, is for you to boast in men. "Oh, the election's going to save us." No, it's not. "Oh, can't wait till 2012. We're going to vote." Vote what? Now, you know me. I'm all for voting biblically. But my friend, if you're looking to Sacramento or Washington to save you, I mean, this current Messiah can't save us. Things are getting worse. Man cannot save you. Only God can save us. And he builds upon eternity in our lives. And there's nothing that you can obtain from man that will have an eternal value outside the Word of God. All of the stuff of the Old Testament, I mean this with all reverence, but listen carefully. The temple, the priesthood, the prophets, the sacrifices, even the kings of Israel for themselves, all these things were weak accommodations for humanity. Even God said himself, they're all a shadow. They're all a forerunner. Did you know that? It's nothing. Can you imagine the temple of God being built in Jerusalem and down deep inside, the Lord looks at it with a half a smile on his face and says, "Well, that's nice." And everybody's impressed. Mount Sinai shakes with the presence of God and the children of Israel with Moses there. And God says, "Well, this is nice." Think about it. All of the grandeur of the Old Testament revelations. Ezekiel's vision of the wheel within the wheel spinning and the cherubim, each having six wings and four faces on one head. God says, "Well, yeah, that's nice." It was all pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ and his salvation and the indwelling of a believer. And if you really believe this, it would so radically change your life forever and whatever's going on in your life. You'll get over, by the power of God, the fact that you were abused as a child. You will get over the fact that your husband or wife is abusive. You'll get over, because he gives you the power to get over it. He gives you the strength to get over it. He gives you the value. He says, "I'm coming and I'm going to move inside of you." And he sets us free. And to settle for anything less, my friend, is to declare yourself and myself the victim. No more. I'm the victor through Christ. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is the absolute fact. And that is the truth and the power of the Word of God in our lives. Don't for a moment, because we shortchange the Bible, we're so busy every day that we don't ingest it enough, we don't eat it enough, and then we think, "Well, you know, the Bible's not so powerful." Don't say that. God have mercy on you if you think that. This is the all-sufficient, all-powerful, eternal Word of God, and it has all power to change. It's my pathetic application of it that displays weakness. I'm passionate about this for these reasons. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life and that his life is in his Son. He who has his Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life, says the Bible. The Bible says in John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus said that. Paul is reminding the Corinthians that it's time for them to move on to this radical reality of Christ in you. This fact, this reality, I mean, it's the most challenging concept for humanity, let alone the Christian, to grasp. I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you right now. If I went to Israel right now and I told my Israeli friends, I'm not saying my friends, I'm saying Israelis on the streets. If I were to say to a Jew on the street, Messiah dwells in me, they will literally call the police. I am not kidding. And have me arrested or taken away as a lunatic, as someone insane. You know that's blasphemy to them. Oh no, we have to have a temple to meet God. And in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, God says, I don't do that. It's passing away. I'm looking for a human to live in. And our Hindu friends or our Buddhist friends believe in all kinds of gods or strange God. And we've got the greatest news that if they were honest, they would wish that your message is real for them. They would love your message to be real for them. And the Bible says, if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. The Bible says God has a Son. And our Muslim friends deny. They say, listen, Jesus Christ cannot be the Son of God. They wish. I told you before, I had a Muslim student on Cal Poly Pomona's campus, and he said, in all honesty, it is true, your message is better than ours, if it were true. You see?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen, your body is a forever house of God because, listen, he gives everything that we need to us. Verse 22 says, whether Paul, this is great. Remember a couple weeks ago, they're arguing, I'm of Paul. And the other group was saying, I'm of Apollos. Listen to what Paul says. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, which is Peter, or the world or death or a life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. I love it. What are you guys bickering about? In Christ, everything's yours. You're free. Everything you and I need. Hebrews chapter 10, very quickly. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Listen to this. For the law, that's the Ten Commandments. That's the Old Testament. For the law, being a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year, make those who approach perfect or forgiven. Therefore, verse 5, Christ came into the world and he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Then he said, verse 9, behold, I come to you, I come to do your will, O God. So then, listen, he, God, takes away the first, that's the Old Testament, that he may establish the second, that's the new. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What, church? Once for all. You are the temple of the living God. And finally here, verse 23, your body is a forever house of God because, listen, because he belongs to us. You say, Jack, don't you want to change that? No. Don't you want to say, because we belong to him? That's a given. Look at it. Because he belongs to us. Are you kidding me? This is the shockaroo of the universe. The eternal creator God of the universe allows himself. He gives himself that we would have him. He belongs to us. Remember I said how the Holy Spirit possesses us? Guess what? Listen to this. This is happy stuff. John 17:23, Jesus is praying to his Father just before his death. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete in one. Amen. Listen, I encourage you to study the Old Testament, and every time the word sacrifice or temple or tabernacle pops up, look for yourself there. Hebrews 8:5 says those instructions given to Moses were a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Hebrews 9:8 says, now the Holy Spirit was indicating that the way into the holiest, the Holy of Holies, was not made manifest while the first tabernacle on earth was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time. Can someone say amen to that? But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Oh. Did anybody get that? This is Christianity. God dwells in you to transform you, for you to experience him. And first, we're almost done. In 1 John 4, listen, everyone. This is the evangelistic part, truly. I mean, the worship group can come out right now even. That's how done I am, for reals. Listen to this. I am so grateful that I don't have to make a pilgrimage to some place in the world to try to get close to my God. My friends, my Jewish friends, get as close to the Wailing Wall as they can because it's as close as they can get to the old covenant. Whatever religion, whatever cult does their thing, they do their thing to get closer, to earn something. Sharia law demands that a Muslim make his way, her way to Mecca, to go around the Kaaba in Saudi Arabia. I don't have to do any of those things. My God's with me now. And when you leave today, he's going with you. And when I stay for second service, he stays with me. Why? Because the Bible says, listen, 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you hear what I said a moment ago? In fact, we're out of time, but you guys go ahead and put up those two photographs here. And I want you to look at this. Anybody recognize that? Okay, you want to zoom in? Next slide. Leave it right there. I want you to look at that. It says God does not have a son on here in Arabic. I want you to look at that. I want you to hear this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been completed, perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son denies the Father and does not have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son acknowledges the Father also. Is this awesome? All around that, it says God is not begotten, nor does God have a Son. Wow. Maybe the universe is at war because of human souls vacant waiting to be inhabited by your Creator. And until that happens, you're just a shell. And that should not happen. Let's pray. That does not have to happen. Father, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Lord God, please, I ask of you, Father, I pray that there'll be no distraction right here, right now. Lord, I am so joyously drunk on your truth. I don't need second service. I don't need third service. I don't need a prayer meeting this afternoon. My cup overflows. And I pray right now for those that are here, they do not have this. They don't know what it's like to have this liberating sense of theology of God personally, experientially, that we have no confidence in our flesh. We can't save ourselves. We see that Jesus died for us, that he was the only sacrifice to pass through the veil into the eternal for us. It's not the blood of anything or anyone, but him. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christian, be thanking God. And if anyone is in doubt today, it's time to stop and settle the account with God now. You've heard the gospel. If you want your sins forgiven, if you want the Spirit of God to move inside of you and stamp his seal of eternity on your life, I'm asking you now to choose Christ and not look back. I'm asking you to give him all of your filth, your dirty thoughts, your ambition, your arrogance, your pride, your whatever. You give it to him right where you're at. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're doing that, can you just raise your hand? Because by doing so, you're just saying, Jack, that's what I'm doing. God bless you. God bless you. In the back, God bless you. Hands, God bless you. To my left, God bless you. Anyone else? Over here to my right, God bless you. On the aisle. That's kind of awesome. On the aisle, right there. Somebody raised their hand today, and I just, halfway through the message, I felt the Lord say to my heart, I'm getting that guy. And here his hand goes up. Those of you who raised your hands, pray this prayer. Dear Lord, come into my life now. Make me your temple. Live in me, dwell in me, save me, wash me, use me. Take control of my world. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. And I praise you now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. Pastor Jack, your new book is out. It's called Living in the Days of Deception. Can you give us a preview of the kind of deceit that you talk about in the book?
Well, for example, one of the chapters is titled The Days of Global Deception. And it's remarkable because when you simply take what the Bible has to say and you look at what's going on in the world around us right now, it's absolutely remarkable to see that we're just not looking at isolated events. Everything now is globally connected.
the deception that's taking place is something that makes its way around the world, literally in the matter of hours, if not less. So we're looking at the global deception of economies and of worldviews, what is deemed acceptable and now unacceptable. And where is your faith allowed in all of this? So yeah, exactly. Days of global deception is one of the opening arguments.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.